Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, Cinema Manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair, a film and theatre maker and podcaster from the Isle of Mull.
And
I'm Jim, a professional plasticine player and a general raconteur. Based in Dunoon. There we go.
It's a West Coast podcast today. Very nice.
It is. And we're really excited. Jim has agreed to join us for our Christmas slash end of year episode, depending on when I get this out, depending on how much editing I have to do on it. Thanks
I'll try
for coming,
not say anything rude.
Thank you. I think it's probably for my Father Christmas face credentials. I think that's probably why you got me in today.
Do you get stared at sort of confusedly by children at this time of year?
Quite a lot. They do shout Father Christmas, and I shout naughty list at them. So that's my general deflection. So.
That's fantastic.
It doesn't help that you actually have reindeer as well. That's another
problem. Well, there is that as well, yeah.
So, Jim, for you, when you were growing up, what were the kind of key children's movies or Christmas things you would watch?
Ah, it's all your classics, really. I mean, you'd wait. Yeah, the big movie, you know, that whatever they deemed to put out that year, you know, 70 years after cinema release. So it would have been obviously the Disney classics. And I think things like Bedknobs and Broomsticks, particularly.
Which features the classic line, but what about my knob? Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's what we were all waiting for. the island of Naboom Boom. So the Disney classics were really what I was excited about. But, you know, if there was something like E.T. or something like that came out, then that was the big thing. But anything animated at Christmas was it continues to be the kind of the big pull for me, really.
Aye. Yeah, of course. I mean, Ellen, was your uncle involved in The Snowman as well?
First 5 minutes.
Wow.
Fantastic. Yeah. The important bit where he gets dressed, little James gets dressed and doesn't put his pants on before putting his trousers on. I'm sure I've mentioned this on the podcast before, possibly on Last Christmas. But when we were children, then we were affronted that James would go out in the snow without putting his pants on. And it's just due to time. It was just a timing. He had to get dressed really quickly and there was only time to put on one lower garment.
A layer, yeah.
And it was trousers.
I like that you're very literal about that, though.
Yeah.
Did
first
Roger
5 minutes
talk about it at all?
He had a great time. He did all of Raymond Briggs's adaptations he was involved with, except Fungus the Bogeyman. So we don't watch that one.
it's not canon.
No, it's very good, of course. So Christmas was very much a Roger Mainwood fest in the house.
Another blooming Christmas.
Yeah, he did. Oh,
was
lovely. He directed Father Christmas.
And oh, it's great.
There was a new intro to The Snowman. So when we were children, it was the David Bowie one, obviously.
Bowie.
And then he directed a one with Mel Smith as Father Christmas again.
So, fantastic.
Yep.
Lovely.
How about yourself, Alistair?
I think I have said this before, but Muppet's Christmas Carol is a very significant film. I love that. I absolutely love it. I think Michael Caine just taking things seriously is so good. And the script is superb, you know, light the lamp, not the rat. It's all this, and there's a lot going on in it. It's a great movie. Home Alone, I think Home Alone, I thought I was going to see a film called Home Alone, some sort of Western, but I loved that. And on the telly, when I know that's important for you as well, Jim, it was Box of Delights. Box of Delights. So I just got the 40th anniversary Blu-ray just come through the door the other day there, so I'm going to try and watch that in the next couple of days. And there was another one as well, which I saw when, I think, maybe I said this last year, I'm not sure, but when I had a fever, I was kind of ill and I'm not with it without a fever, I watched The Children of Green Knoll. Do you remember that at all, Ellen?
I don't know. What is it?
Fantastic. Yeah, Jim, do you remember it as well?
Some vague memory of it being quite disturbing.
Yeah.
good Christmas, like M.R. James type.
Exactly.
Vibe to those things. Yeah.
Children's horror.
Was it The Amazing Mr. Blunden?
Yes. Oh, no, I never saw that one. Yeah. Yeah.
With the terrifying Diana Dawes.
Oh, she's a scary character, yeah. But Children of Green Knoll was that there was a young kid who'd come to stay at this house, and the ghosts of the children who'd lived there previously and him interacted with each other, and it was magical. There's this brilliant moment when, is it St. Michael carrying the Christ child across the river or something like that? This wooden kind of sculpture just goes through this torrent rain, torrented stream, and it's like, what's going on here? Oh, it's a sort of mixture of pagan and Christian stuff going on. It's well worth seeing. I think you can find it on YouTube. I bought the DVD for Call to watch a couple of Christmases ago, and it stopped working at like episode 4 or something like that. So we watched the rest on YouTube, and it was excellent. It's really, it's got that sort of M.R. James, exactly that sort of ivy and kind of that kind of ivy Christmas, an old green Christmas, which is lovely.
It reminded me actually. I remember actually where my dad used to work in a factory, and the factory would always put on a Christmas event for all the children. And it was, bearing in mind, it was the early 80s, it's been running probably since the 60s. Big old cinema, and I talked about it before, the Regal. There's a big single screen cinema.
And the fish.
Bloody blue fish. But at Christmas, it would get turned over for one day to the children of Lockheed Bombers and AP Racing. And all the children would get to go with no parents. Oh. You can imagine. I think it was like a 1,200-seater cinema. And it was like being in the Muppet Show. There was popcorn flying. There was a little ramp at the bottom of the screen that kids were running up and down like a half pipe. The people were trying to find fags in the ashtrays, and we were all given a bag of popcorn and a toffee apple each before you went in. So you can imagine just topping up the sugar, and then have that British border film kind of children's kind of B movie first, and then it would be the Robin Hoods or something, something that was cheap to put on, and it would just be feral, just poor old ladies. They probably were actually in their 30s, but they seemed like really old. Then kind of trying to control 1,200 feral wired children, and it was a highlight of the. It was a rite of passage because you could only go from the age of eight to 12. So you can imagine that age group as well. And it was absolutely balmy. And I think it probably took them a whole year to recover from the thing. But what a rite of passage to be on the cinema on your own and nothing but children. It was like Gremlins, really. I suppose it was more akin to that. But that's kind of my pivotal cinema kind of Christmas memory. Was like. Just that joy of being let loose, and also terrified because there were big boys with thumping, pop flying everywhere. It's just amazing. Yeah, what a time to be alive.
Smoking fat.
Sounds like your nightmare.
It's my absolute nightmare. Well, I was just so yesterday we had. I don't think I named the club last year when I talked about the worst day at the cinema is when there's a particular hire. And it is there's adults in this one. It's not 1,200 kids on their own. It's a load of kids and some supervising, and I'm putting that in inverted commas, adults. And it was carnage as usual. And Laura and I were traumatized from the cleanup. But so what you're describing sounds like great for the kids, but oh my goodness,
yeah,
I can only imagine those poor 30/80-year-old women.
Yeah.
and the cleanup afterwards. Oh, you just want to set fire to the place.
I think that's what happened probably with a lot of cinemas. They just decided that is actually better to lay waste to them than actually deal with the
fire. Bingo. We're doing bingo. Give it up. That's all bingo now.
Just walk away. Oh, my goodness. Just shut the cinema. This is why cinemas are getting shut down. Staff are just looking at the state of the screen after a load of kids have been in there.
Going, we no, just close the doors it, and walk away.
Yeah. Well, that's that brilliant bit in Gremlins, isn't it? When the Gremlins all go to the cinema and it's just absolutely insane. And you see the shadows of it through the other side, and it's like, oh, Gremlins is such a love story to cinema in many ways. It's a brilliant thing.
Absolutely,
So is that a new member of staff you've got there as well? You mentioned Laura.
Oh yeah, Laura. Yeah, we've got a new member of staff called Laura, who's lovely.
Oh, fantastic.
And she has experienced her first, she's about to experience her first Christmas Eve which is fun, which we really, really love because it's absolutely packed. Everything's sold out. And all the staff are in because we none of us want to miss out on the excitement of Christmas.
Yeah,
that's so lovely. Really nice. What are you playing this year?
This year it is Elf and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And we've also done It's a Wonderful Life, Nightmare Before Christmas, Die Hard.
Oh, not a German classic.
One and two? Or
Just the one. Just one.
Die Hard, yeah. I love it. Mull Film Club, our local film society here in Mull, showed Casablanca on Saturday that I took Georgia along to. Yeah, and then on Saturday they showed It's a Wonderful Life. But oh man, see, Casablanca remains one of my favourite films. I just sat with tears pouring down my face, and it was like this. I love that film so much. It's just brilliant. Really, it's a good thing to watch at Christmas. I've never really understood why. Wizard of Oz is associated with Christmas. I mean, it's perfect for it because it's that kind of festive, that kind of insanity of another world. But do you know where that comes from? Is it just that it was a big film that was good to put out at that time?
That's what I've always presumed. I've sort of wondered the same thing myself, but it's a sort of lazy afternoon, have a bit of a nap.
I think that's why. I think that's why they put on things like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, because you forget how horrifically long that film is.
The first half hour is just like race.
It's like Ben-Hur. And there's so many seconds. I mean, it's like three films in one. You know, you just completely forget about the weird kind of, the weirdness of it all and just how massive it is. It's just so bizarre. And I always got really hung up. Somebody had told me that the teacher from Grange Hill was the German princess. I could never watch neither that nor Grange Hill in the same way again.
She was the
English teacher.
Yeah, she was kind of dynamic. She's also in Casino Royale, if I remember rightly, as well.
Yeah, so she had this other life outside of being a teacher. Her former life before being a teacher was a German princess.
These kind of really expressionistic
and involved with spies and espionage.
Yeah,
maybe that's why she went to Grange Hill, to kind of, kind of get over the whole...
Maybe she never left. Maybe she was a spy in Grange Hill.
2 hours 24, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is.
Jeez. Robert Altman's amazing in that, though, as the child catcher. That is a phenomenal part.
Terrifying.
I tell you what we watched last night, which ties into that. Cole wanted to watch Top Secret. Have you ever seen Top Secret before at all? It's the first of the Zucker Brothers movies. What do you call them? The guys that did Naked Gun and Police Squad. It's Val Kilmer and loads of British actors because it was filmed in Pinewood. It's an East German secret police cabal that wants to reform Germany, but under bizarre means, and it's not clear if it's the Second World War or what's going on. It's really, really odd. It's absolutely insane. And there's Omar Sharif's in it, and there's a moment where I think it's Ian McNeice and Omar Sharif are standing in the street, and Ian McNeice has got a tray of things in front of him, and he's like, it's the Red Sparrow and the Flies by Morning kind of contact. But it's catch on souvenirs, novelties, party tricks. Tell me about this, and it's just absolutely insane. And the last line, because he keeps giving him things to kind of like, here, try this fresh cigar, explodes and all that sort of stuff. And the last thing is he wanders off, and Ian McNeice wanders off, and Omar Sharif goes, wait, you forgot your fake dog poo poo. It's like, I don't have any dog poo poo. So
sounds like I would hate it.
Oh, Georgia just sat fizzing.
Georgia is my barometer of If you and Cole laugh in your heads,
wetting ourselves.
It
features one of my favourite moments in cinema as well, which is just so simple. It's absolutely amazing. At one point, they have to try and underground squad have to try and get into the German castle where the key scientist is being held, and they try and sneak in amongst a herd of cows, but they go as a cow. Basically, it's a cow. It's a white cow with big black polka dots pasted on the side of it in welly boots. And it's a real cow in welly boots. It's just one of the funniest things I've seen. Just flip up, flip, 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 flip. It's just so stupid. I recommend it very strongly.
Jim, you can take that one on. I'll not be watching that.
No, I think, I don't know. There was a very odd kind of that kind of period of spies and things on film. Yeah, my one of my Christmas favourites actually was one of our dinosaurs is missing, which is now very politically difficult, but with amazing Derek Nimmo as a spy. And you know, it got everything in it for me. It got dinosaurs, steam lorries,
Peter Ustinov,
Bernard Breslau, and Peter Ustinov, who still, I think, still find absolutely mesmerising. Obviously, it's not really in. You don't see it in Disney Plus for obvious reasons, because it's rather difficult and of its time. But I just loved it. And then again, the fact that it then reappears. That dinosaur reappears in the opening sequence of Star Wars is just, that opening sequence on Tatooine, that is the dinosaur on the Tunisian sand dune, I think is...
That's awesome.
It's just so brilliant. I think I just love how that kind of reuse and it's just been lying around for all those years and then just picked up and shipped across, that somehow was cheaper than making a weird dinosaur in place in Tunisia. I think that's just brilliant.
The lotus eggs for the formula for lotus eggs.
That's
amazing. It's a film that means a lot. Those kind of tales are that there's a brilliant tale of a guy who was a gunslinger in the Wild West. A friend made a play of it years ago, or Michael Duke, who I haven't seen in many years, but he made a play of this. A chap being a gunslinger who then when he was killed, his body was somehow preserved, and he ended up being a stuffed dummy in kind of shows. And so this dummy, this actual body, preserved body, went around for years as a prop, much like Yulia Pastrana, the Mexican lady who Jim and I are trying to make a film about as well. So a book over there actually. Those kind of things lingering in prop cupboards is always very interesting.
I'm just looking up because I was David Tennant used somebody's skull for Hamlet.
He did.
And I'm just looking up to see who it was. Andrei Tchaikovsky, who was a pianist in the Royal Shakespeare Company, donated his skull for Hamlet.
Very brave.
Was that? Do you think is that the one and only time that's ever been done? I wonder.
I don't know. I mean, there's a very fine Canadian television series called Slings and Arrows. And the first series centres around somebody dying and leaving their skull for Hamlet. That's obviously fiction. But I imagine surely it's come up quite a lot. That'd be quite fun to leave your head.
Inundated with head donations.
I'd be really interested to know that, actually. Yes, I imagine people would offer it quite a lot. And they have a very diplomatic way of saying no, thank you.
I found this amazing. Well, a friend found this amazing channel on my Samsung TV. They have their own channel, and it's essentially just streams old movies over and over again. And it's a lot of Ian comedies and Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected.
Oh wow!
That was on just the other night with the one when a husband. Dies. He's a very overbearing husband, and dies. And lady gets a call about with the will, the reading of the will and testament, and then says finds out that his head has been preserved in a tank with one eyeball, and it's going to got very much that kind of thing. He's trapped in this box forever, alive, but with an eye and can't talk, and he's not allowed to smoke or drink or watch television or have a telephone. And she just kind of terrorizes him for all eternity as the kind of spoiler for the ending. But it's just so brilliant. Like, but I'm obsessed with this channel at the moment that I can just watch at the Titfield Thunderbolt and all sorts of stuff. It's just
lovely.
Streaming by. And every time you turn the television, there's something It's always an amazing scene, like that amazing 60s, 70s Henry VIII, kind of almost like it, kind of like like the Osbournes, but with Henry VIII. And it's got the guy who was, a Welsh actor who was one of the henchmen, blonde henchmen in a James Bond movie, and really tall with a blonde sweep of hair. And yeah, then played Henry VIII. And it's just him at one point going, "I think you've got enough dogs. We don't need any more dogs." And he's just like, "Bloody old Sharon." That's that kind of, had that feeling of like Tudor Ozzy Osbourne, which I suppose he was probably in many ways. It was
yeah, that's crazy. I keep missing. What's the there's a movie channel on digital terrestrial because we've only we don't have telly actually. It's something not Turner Movies. They show loads of great classic movies during the course of the day, and there's always I follow their stuff on Blue Sky because it's always really interesting to see what they've got coming up. Loads of like Quatermass and all sorts of wonderful things coming up.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Ellen, how about for yourself? Like, what for you was essential Christmas when you were younger in terms of viewing and experiences?
Well, I mean, as I said, it was all just sort of Roger Mainwood, Raymond Briggs. I don't, I was trying to think of a Christmas film because I didn't watch The Muppets Christmas Carol until I was much older.
Wow.
I don't know how it passed me by because...
You'd have loved that, I'm sure.
I'd have loved it. My dad would have loved it. Yeah. I guess we just weren't a big telly family. It was sort of games and stuff, but what I wanted to throw questions back to you. Are there any newer films that have become part of your Christmas repertoire? Because I'm going to watch The Holdovers again.
Oh God,
which
that's good.
Came out last year, and I think that might become a Christmas. Although somebody, who was it? I don't know. Anyway, somebody had said that they'd watched it again, having loved it when it came out. And they watched it again this year, sort of with the thought that it was going to be their Christmas thing, and then didn't like it at all.
Oh, no.
So I'm a little bit nervous. But are there any sort of more modern ones that have instantly become staples?
Well, I would definitely say that The Holdover. Actually, I only watched it 2 nights ago. It's been one of those.
Lovely.
It's been on my list, and it was actually absolutely magical. Actually, yeah. I really.
Oh, for the first time, do you mean?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So I'd really not got round to it. It's just that I've been on my list. I think actually it is brilliantly dark and a complete redemption. I'm terrible with names of actors, but the teacher character.
Paul Giamatti, yeah.
Yeah, who I'd never forgiven because it's the only time I've ever stopped a film and not watched it. Then the only film I've never ever completed was Deuce Bigelow, American Gigolo. I got 10 minutes in and it was so appalling that I thought, I think I hate cinema now. And I had to walk away from it.
No.
But I've never come back to it. And I've never really got over him being a terrible human being. But but actually, that film is so full of heart. And
it's wonderful.
Just brilliant, yeah. Mm. But yeah, I could happily make that part of my Christmas tradition, I think. It's a bleak midwinter.
It's lovely. It's got that Hal Ashby kind of feel about it as well. And I'm really, really tempted to watch Being There again this Christmas, which I think I'd need to buy. I've got it on DVD, but I want to see a nice upscaled version of it, 4K or whatever, if such a thing exists. Peter Sellers in his kind of second last film, really straight role for him. It was just... Oh, it's so classy. It's beautiful. And that Hal Ashby, the way he works with kind of, I don't know if it's an intimacy thing with how he films things. They just feel very intimate, which is I love to bits. There's a film I saw last year, I think, for the first time, which I thought was excellent. Again, based on the Scrooge myth, but Spirited, with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell.
I didn't like that.
I thought it was great. I really thought it was great.
It's probably the humour thing again.
Yeah,
saying good afternoon to you then.
Good afternoon. Yeah. It's I really enjoyed that. I thought that was just it was joyously silly. I thought it was really nice.
I thought it was almost like a reimagining. Well, obviously of Scrooge of Christmas Carol, but it was kind of like a modern retelling of the Bill Murray film
Scrooge.
I thought it had that brilliant element to it, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah,
I can see. I can completely see how it's not for everyone, but
actually, I don't think I've seen it now that I look at it again. I think I might be talking about something else.
Well, the fact that you didn't react to Good Afternoon
means I haven't seen it. Yeah, I think I haven't.
Yeah, Good Afternoon.
I'm of the awful contingent of people that watch absolutely. You're going to hate this, Alistair. You already know this about me. I watch absolutely awful Hallmark style Christmas films from about the 1st of December, and I bloody love it. I will watch Castle for Christmas every year, and you can't stop me.
But it's got knitting in it, and that's quite good.
It does have knitting in it.
Yeah.
And obviously the elephant in the room at Christmas every year, obviously, is Alistair's favourite appears at the cinema as well, with the orchestra.
We don't talk about Mr. Roo. We don't talk about him.
He brings people
joy,
such joy.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it, but it gives me great joy to see the poster and just to see your two faces is enough for me. I don't actually need to experience it. Just the joy that gives me is enough.
See, he's spreading joy even without being deliberately spreading.
I think I would end up like banging my head against the wall if I went into one of those things.
No, you would start like that, and then it would seep into you.
As my soul bled away,
left your body, and you come out.
Yeah, rhythmically beating your head in time with the music then. And it would be, until it knocks some sense into you.
I can't believe you're a
Andre
snob.
Poo.
You're a snob.
Andre Poo.
Well, that's two poos we've got in already. That's
it's before 10, so that makes sense. Sorry. Enjoy your Christmas meal, everyone.
Well, that's quite exciting. So, if you can squeeze in Spirited somewhere along the line, honestly, I think the music is good. It's a great musical, actually, which is what I really... I completely watched it not knowing anything about it.
Yeah.
And that was quite a nice way to experience it. So I wouldn't say any more, actually. But
No, it was Ewan Emerson Sellen that had recommended it to us. Mr. Ewan Davidson had recommended it to us, so we watched this. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you probably won't like it. We watched a film, talking of Scrooged, there's the old English actor, whose name I can't remember, that's playing Scrooge in the TV version that they're making in Scrooge, the kind of Hartman... It's the old guy that's sitting there with the book reading, "'Twas the night before Christmas," that chap. Mm. We watched a movie recently, a Robert Redford movie, kind of nice thing to watch, called 3 Days of the Condor. And I don't recommend it at all because it's Col is really good at watching things with us. He'll watch all sorts of stuff with us. And he's like, this is rubbish. And unfortunately, he was right. It was a spy movie from the 1970s by Sidney Pollack. So, you'd think it'd be really quite tight and really interesting. Mm. Completely not interesting at all. Really flappy. But
talking of flappy, you should have watched Condor Man instead.
Oh, it would
have been far more entertaining.
Yeah. I do have problems with Michael, what do you call him though? Phantom of the Opera, Michael, Betty. Crawford, yeah. I find him quite, I don't know, there's something about him that I find, I don't know. He's very, very, very talented, but I don't know, I'm not a fan.
He's a whiz on roller skates.
Oh my goodness. The stuff he did, like it is Buster Keaton-esque, a lot of that stuff. There was no safety to it. But 3 Days of the Condor, I don't recommend if you see it about, which is a shame, because it is also set at Christmas. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's why you earn the big bucks.
Yeah.
Can we talk about films of the year? Our personal films of the year? Do a little... Is that springing it on you? Do you want some?
I thought that might be a thing. So yes, I have prepared. Yes. mine was an early one actually, and one that we narrowly missed for a plug for the Dunoon Film Festival, and that is probably my favourite small film of the year, which is The Ballad of Wallace Island.
That's my favourite of the year too.
Oh.
It is. Smashed into my top three films of all time.
No, it's excellent. I really enjoyed it.
Why did you love The Ballad of Wallace Island, Jim?
Well, people say there are great similarities between the character that Tim Key plays and myself, which is both brilliant and appalling at the same time.
It's
so
true. I haven't thought awful. Of that.
Yeah.
And you do know Tim Key, and he may have taken reference from for you.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Do you know so, Tim Key?
Yes, well, we've met a few times through my friend Mark Watson, and we meet at the.
Do you know Mark
the
Watson?
Yeah, we did a project that for a charity that didn't quite come off. But then we also he invited me to do the 27-hour comedy marathon at the Pleasance.
Oh yeah,
which is what got me my place with the Pleasance Theatre over the next coming years with doing a plasticine show at the Fringe. But yeah, Mark and I made 27 morphs in 27 hours while Mark entertained the masses, and I got to meet Janine Anderson and all sorts of amazing people. It was kind of a fever dream, really, of a show. So I know Mark through various things, and we do get to meet up, and it never stops being exciting, actually, because comedy heroes. But
my in to Key.
The key to Key.
This is very exciting.
So yeah, no, I just love the scale of it, and I think the heart of it, and again, it's just really, really brilliant. I don't leave soup outside the door of guests who stay at our house, but it's been very tempting just to randomly leave hot soup at people's bedroom doors.
If I stay at your house and you do that, I will absolutely love it, and I will fall over on the soup.
I see, you have to.
Oh no, but I thought it was just so beautiful, and it's a kind of a weird. It could be Scotland, it could be Wales, it could be anywhere. It's very hard to place the. It's so cleverly done that actually, I think it's just great. So,
can I just say, I know that it's the crumble that he falls over, not the soup that he falls over.
Ah yes, oh goodness, yes.
you know your Wallace Island.
I've watched it so many times. I got to the point it was ridiculous. Got to the point when it was playing at the cinema that I would just put it on and then just sit with my laptop. Having watched it sort of three or four times, just properly watched it. It just became a sort of morning. I pop the Ballad of Wallace Island on, get my laptop, do my work. I love it.
So that's lovely.
Yeah. And having seen the short as well, the joy of seeing that. I think there's something really nice. I think the year before my favourite was, I think it was the year before, was
Brian and Charles.
Yeah. Yes.
And again, I think there's something about small films that's just really lovely. So,
that was one of my films of the year before as well. The two film posters that I have in my house are Brian and Charles and The Ballad of Wallace Allen.
No way. Yeah. Oh, that's really lovely. Oh, I like that a lot.
That sort of humour. It's really difficult to describe if you don't know it, but you know it when you see it. But I just find it so comforting and funny. And
they share the same producer as well, Rupert.
Is it?
Yeah.
Alistair, what's yours?
I always love going, as you know, I love going to the cinema. I managed to see a film in Dunoon with my dad. I took him out to the cinema. I went to see Black Bag by Steven Soderbergh.
Oh, quite a contrast.
I enjoyed that very much as well. Yeah.
I really, really love Black Bag. And I've watched it two or three times now. Once in the cinema, I once kind of to take it apart, I think, because there's such a fine piece of film craft. There's just so much to understand and kind of how it works. So I've watched it in bits, and then I watched it with Georgia and Cole, and Georgia loved it, absolutely loved it. It's just a properly decent spy thriller, really simple, and it's worth multiple viewings because of the nature of the storytelling in it. It's really top notch. I'd watch it again tonight. Actually, it's a really great film.
There's a very strong spy theme running through with you today.
There is. Yeah,
well, third or fourth, maybe fifth spy film we've had actually, which is quite a.
I'm seeking comfort and things like that. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, that was for me. That was I kind of love what's he called? The Irish German actor,
Michael Fassbender.
Mickey Fassbender, I think he is phenomenal. I wish he'd been Bond. I really do. I think he's great. And the just whole the whole dynamic of it is amazing. There's some kind of really odd cinematographical choices in it. The colours are quite strange and there's some kind of lens blur things going on that I don't really understand. I guess that's kind of telling about the kind of that you can never tell where the truth lies and stuff like that. But it's got loads of classic scenes, like, because the two key dramatic scenes are around the table. And it's like, how do you make scenes around the table interesting? And they do it. They do it again and again. And Soderbergh's just I'm a total hero. Amazing, amazing guy.
Mm. Yeah, really, and it's fun as well. The film is just really fun to watch.
It's great. It's
just a rollicking good time.
Yeah.
Can I do a couple of honourable mentions?
Please do.
Please do.
So it's I'm not a huge horror guy or thriller guy, but Sinners and Weapons. Are in also in my top three.
Got both of them waiting to be watched. I think that's great. Christmas watches, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely love them.
Yeah. And, brilliant. I have to watch those then. Yeah.
Would thoroughly recommend. Very, Sinners is not as odd, but Weapons is very odd, but...
I can bring that over in between Christmas. Jim, if you want to watch it, we can watch it all together.
Fabulous, yeah.
Yeah, watch Weapons together.
Yep. Oh, that'd be great, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we were talking last night. We had a little Alistair and myself were part of a little group called Art Mixing, and we do kind of film education and art and crafts on a Wednesday, most weeks at the Borough Hall. And so we had a little get together, sadly, sans Satchel, but in the Winkle Inn, in my little pub in the house. And we were discussing, actually, because I have more cinema chairs than is reasonable for someone to have in their house, about turning one of the rooms into a cinema. So I've been thinking about setting that up, actually, and getting, I'm gradually collecting a load of 16mm films at the moment to have for that. But actually, to have a Christmas season of films would be rather nice, actually, just to kind of cozy up. And and actually, when Alistair comes, he usually tries to persuade me to come to the studio cinema and watch something. So yep. So yeah, I'll have to see what's on. Is on this coming Christmas, actually, Ellen? You'll have a better. What should we be looking out for?
So we've got SpongeBob the movie.
Oh, any good?
No idea.
Yeah.
Don't know. No one's in it. Avatar obviously is dominating at the moment.
And well, that's then we good. That's a big thing. Yeah.
Then we go into The Housemaid, which looks sort of trashy fun, and I think it's supposed to be trashy fun. And then I am having a blank because there's something that I'm really looking. Oh, Hamnet, of course.
Oh my God!
I'm looking forward to so much.
The trailer made me cry.
The book destroyed me. And now the film looks like a wonderful, wonderful... I keep hearing that it's just...
Yeah. More of an Anaconda guy myself, I think.
Yes, there's also Anaconda, which we're bringing in a little bit later. And then we've got something else lined up, which I am drawing another blank on. So I'll probably blurt it out while you two are having a conversation a bit later. But yeah, Hamnet is...
It looks wonderful.
The one to watch. Just looks gorgeous.
Mm. Maybe we'll do that over Christmas then. When you come over, Alistair, we'll share a tissue.
Carl's film of the year.
It's bloody Naked Gun, isn't it? Go and get that boy and give him punch on the arm from
him. And he watched it again just recently with his friends at the weekend there, and they loved it again. So yeah, it's
good. No, it's fine, because unlike you, I'm glad that something that I don't like is bringing other people joy. Because
Andre Roux is false joy. It's false joy, I tell you. Ooh, there's a raptor up on the it's just up the
dinosaur
hill behind us. Yeah, one of the, not missing though, but there's a raptor of some sort up on the cliff edge up behind the house over there. Ooh. Talking of raptors, have you wrapped your Christmas presents yet?
Have you experienced the rapture?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, have you experienced the rapture? Are you left behind?
Right, I'm gonna. The boys are getting silly. So shall we wind down?
Okay.
I think that might be. Yeah.
thank you very much. Sorry, Jim, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think you've got more important things to do.
I've got to go and run the cinema. Thank you for listening, and delete as applicable. A, have a lovely Christmas if I manage to get this out in the next day. Or B, have a lovely New Year if I manage to get this out in the next few days. Or C, I hope you had a lovely Christmas and a lovely New Year.
Perfect.
Okay.
Have a lovely one, whoever it is.
Yeah, whatever time of year this is. Yeah.
And thanks, Jim.
Had a lovely time.
To our monkey overlords, I salute you, if that's what happened.
Damn filthy apes. Have a lovely Christmas, everyone. And thanks indeed, Jim, as well. It's great to see you.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Thank you.